your source for everything paranormal.
Para-X.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
The Gathering. The supernatural world can be a dark, intimidating, and scary place. We gather to shine light on the mysterious and misunderstood aspects of the paranormal world. We bring to the table years of experience as mediums, healing channels, and paranormal investigators.
We share true stories from our experiences to dispel fear where we can and help you discover the amazing layers that make up the paranormal world. You are invited to gather around the metaphysical table with us and discuss the worlds of the unseen on The Gathering Radio Show.
Here on The Gathering Radio Show, and this is Heidi.
And this is Stephanie. I love it. Yeah, tune in Tuesday tonight.
I almost said what we said last week because we were just talking about it.
I know. But last week was a trippy Tuesday.
It was. It's not trippy today.
Thankfully. No. Today's a tune-in kind of day.
It's tune-in Tuesday.
There you go. So how are you, Heidi?
I'm excellent.
Good.
Very good. It's been a fantastic weekend because we have a new addition to the household. So very exciting. We have a new pup here.
Cool.
And she's fantastic.
Awesome.
Already.
So now we have two.
Now we have two. Yep. We picked up our new dog on Saturday. And the rescue, was taken off a bus on Saturday with like 35 other dogs. And they do a quick few vetting things. And then they schedule you to pick them up at a certain time. You go pick them up. And they're like in your house within hours of getting here to Minnesota. So it's a pretty smooth process, but yeah, then there's that decompression time that an animal needs. She's 3 years old, and so I'm sure she's been hustled around a lot in the last few weeks, and who knows what else, and who knows what she was doing before then. I think she might have been a puppy mill dog.
Yeah,
but thankfully it didn't sour her towards humans because she is so sweet and trusting. So
awesome.
Think she'll be a good fit.
Yeah, cool beans.
Yeah, you can't do wrong with dog medicine or animal medicine.
Nope. I totally agree. And I have to report on my owls. They are almost ready to leave that nest. I'll post some pictures tomorrow. Last night I was there for maybe half an hour, and all three of the babies were out, you know, winger sizing, and they were marching up and down, and Mama got so mad at one point she flew away because she was done with that. And then they all looked at her like, Mom, where are you going? It was the cutest thing ever. So I will post some of those tomorrow, but I haven't had a chance to look at them really, you know. So the owls are doing good. The eagles are doing good. My kitty has hyperthyroidism, I found out today. So
I'm not doing good.
But she'll be good.
But at least you know.
Yeah,
that's treatable.
She just lost a little too much weight, and I thought maybe I wasn't feeding her enough because, you know, you just never know. You know, she's hungry all the time, but she's always been that way. So it is what it is. But anyway.
No, speaking of owls, I just have to say we did a paranormal investigation on Saturday night at a park nearby. It was more of a practice for people. You know, we haven't done anything in person for the paranormal group, my paranormal group, for over a year, right? Because of COVID. Mm-hmm. And I used to do outdoor investigations quite a bit because it's a great way for a lot of people to get together. It's a good place for people to practice who aren't very, you know, acquainted with it. You know, they're not familiar with it or don't have any equipment. So you could get a good amount of people together.
Yeah.
And now because it's outdoors, it's even better because of COVID. So we can, you know, stay separate. Everybody had masks on anyway. And we were able to do our first outdoor investigation in over a year, and it was great. And but there was an owl there in the park, and it was lit up by the sunset because we got there before it got dark so that we could get our bearings, and I could do a little like mini 101, you know, for people who had never done any paranormal investigating. I think we had like, I don't know, 16 or 17 people show up. There was more, but a few, you know, people at the end couldn't come or whatever, and that's fine. But there was this owl sitting way up in a tree, but it was still, it must have been huge because for how high up it was, you could still see every detail. And the sunset lit this owl up, and it looked like a painting. It was magical. And it would watch as we're walking along this path to get to, you know, just kind of spread out. But as you're walking along this path, the owl would follow you with its head and turn and watch you the entire time. And it was, and then someone else would walk by and you could see the owl turn and watch that person walk by. And then the next person walk by, and it was just, it was magic. And so we definitely had an owl medicine with us on Saturday night, which was super, super awesome.
Yeah. I love my owls, as you know.
But, so Sherry in the chat room, I'm going to answer this question before we get going, because it's related to what I just talked about. Is ghost, are ghost hunting groups, I think it's, there's a mistype.
Numerically on the decline. Yeah.
The groups themselves?
I think maybe a lot of interest is gone from.
I don't know, because then now the shows are kicking back up again. Right? I mean, there was a couple year period where the ghost hunting shows, there wasn't any new stuff out, and, you know, the ones that were out weren't really putting anything new on the air. And I don't know, I think some things went to YouTube or other channels too. So, but now I think it's picking back up again. And I don't know, because I think there's a lot of interest again with some of the new shows. It's getting people, you know, it's lighting the fire again. So I don't know. I think it's coming back up, especially after COVID.
Yeah.
I think COVID, we've talked about
everyone's looking
before.
For something to do, you know.
Well, that, and I think COVID really scared the weasel out of people, because it was
absolutely,
people were calling me left and right with the whole someone's in my house but there's no one here, because now people are home all the time.
So
I think people are, they're freaking out because they realize they've got stuff in their house that they never knew, because they were always running around, they never were home,
and now they're home and they hear them.
So I think it has renewed some interest here in the paranormal.
All good. So tonight we have a really fun couple of guests. We have who I call the Cryptovania boys on with us tonight. So we have Jason Trost and Tommy Cooper. Hi, guys.
Howdy.
Hello.
How are you? Welcome to the gathering. Welcome to the table.
Awesome. Thank you. We're doing great.
My pleasure.
So what's new since you were last on? And actually, you guys,
it's been a while.
It's been about a year and a half. Maybe I'm thinking it was the maybe almost 2 years. It was in the summer for sure.
Almost 2 years.
Yeah.
Wow. It's been a heck of a 2 years.
You guys have a lot to talk about, so we better hear all about it.
Yes, absolutely.
What are we starting with? What do you guys want to talk about first? Because you had a whole list of stuff before the show, and we were like, oh my gosh, that's interesting. So many interesting things. What do you want to start with?
One of the things
Go ahead, Tommy.
One of the things that we want to talk about is we're filming a first-person encounter. An eyewitness saw a Bigfoot real recent. To hear right over in the game lands over by this right over by Townville and they had a good report on that. And Jason, they said, what did they say again?
Well, what we did is we filmed an episode of what we call Zero Squatch 30, and that's our first person encounters. And he describes, he was on, I had a road crossing, or actually had a bunch of deer cross the road, and when he looked over to what was chasing those deer or startling them, he got a real good like 14 to 20 second long look at a very tall, big, massive Bigfoot crossing the field, and he had a really good look at it. And he was really shook up. And his story is very, very compelling.
Wow. 14 seconds. I mean, even if it was only 14, you said 14 to 20, but 14 seconds, that's a long time to get a good look at something. So you're going to be pretty certain you know what you're seeing with 14 seconds.
Yeah, yeah. There's no guessing. As a matter of fact, one of the things that's really cool about the story is the creature walked behind a power pole. And so that later on, that gives a perspective of how big and massive it was. Mm-hmm. And he said it really wasn't in a hurry. It wasn't standing still, but it really wasn't in a hurry. And he just, it shook him up. And he called it basically a life-changing event.
Wow. And what time of day was it?
That was like around like three or four, you know, like mid afternoon. And he describes the effect of the light on the creature's fur. And
did we lose Jason?
I don't know.
We did. We lost him.
Okay.
Oh, he's back.
Okay.
He talks about the halogen shine on the fur and stuff like that. He was quite an interesting guest as far as he was somebody that I've known all my life and everything. And really a good encounter, and I think we're going to make a good show out of it.
Awesome. That is, and has it been recently? It's been like in the last, you know, recent times, right?
It was in August.
Yeah, it happened over the last few months.
Okay. That's cool. And, you know, haven't you heard, I mean, from eyewitnesses that I've talked to too, whenever they see a Bigfoot, it's a life-changing event, right? They never really believed about Bigfoot before, but once they see him, it's like, it alters their life.
Yeah, 100%. And you know, and he says that he still goes out, but he thinks about it. You know, he's mm-hmm. very conscious of what he's doing. And he's very conscious now of letting people know exactly where he's at. And that's kind of out of character for him. He's kind of, you know, there's a lot of time in the woods that with this guy. And he said, you know, now he's very conscious of making sure somebody knows where he's at.
Yeah. Well,
that's a good idea.
That's a good practice anyway, I think, you know.
Yeah.
But you said it was kind of dark, like blackish color, right?
No, actually, he called it like a reddish brown.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought I heard you say black. Yeah, okay.
But he said he said that what was odd about it is he said you would expect to see like whiffs of hair, but there was like something about the edges that there was no like whiffs. Like more like a dense fur, and but there was also like a shimmering effect to it.
Well, you know, you guys know, and I can't think of his name right now off the top of my head, but there's a researcher in your area that talks about Bigfoot hair, right? And that it has that kind of shimmery.
John Lackey. Yep, John Lackey.
Yes. Yep. Yes. Yes. And it has that shimmery effect.
And that's the same effect that polar bear hair has. Polar bears actually have black skin, but you don't see it because of the refraction of the light through their guard hairs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been demonstrated in nature the effects of, you know, light being refracted by certain guard hairs.
Mm-hmm. And I believe, because I've seen some of those some of the shows talking about that, where it helps with camouflage.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah. And so it was really cool in this, you know, he had that long, you know, long, good look at it. And he said at the same time, like it had like muted edges, and it really falls. It really, you know, hammers home that Heiligenshine point.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Mm-hmm. That is very cool. So, and it's close to you. So, Tommy, I know you're going to be up in those woods a lot now looking for this.
I was there tonight.
And he's already there.
Yeah, I know it. Well, that is awesome. And, you know, so for people who don't know about Cryptovania, so it really is cryptid country where these guys are, which is in Western Pennsylvania, kind of Northwestern Pennsylvania, correct?
Yes.
And you're in the midst of a whole lot of wooded lands, and it goes up to the Appalachians, right? I mean, it's pretty close to there, right? It's kind of all comes through that swath.
Yes. Yeah. We are definitely Allegheny Mountains. We're the Allegheny watershed.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of really wild country here, and a lot of layers of intrigue. You know, you've got your Bigfoot encounters. You've got Kinzu and its strange happenings up there. They even have their own water beast up there. We got quite a menagerie of interesting things to poke around at here.
So for people who don't know, what is a Kinzu? Can you describe that?
Kinzu is the dam that creates Allegheny Reservoir.
And oh,
there's some very wild country there, and there's a lot of intrigue and mystery that comes from there, from a lot of different directions. You have some native bitterness over a village being uprooted because of the flooding of the dam, and that brings its own dark energy. And when they were making the dam, there's tales of them exposing giant caverns with giant chairs, and they're being actually gun battles. There's just all kinds of oddities that really center around that Kinzu Dam. And they even have their own water creature, the Kinzu Nessie. It's something else up there. As a matter of fact, when the Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts go to the yearly jamboree, every year they have a commemorative patch. And the patch from the town of Warren's Scouts actually has the Kinzu Nessie. It's always a variation of the Kinzu Nessie because of a Boy Scout encounter with her.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah.
That's impressive.
And the stuff about giants has a particular interest for me and Tommy. And just 3/4 of a mile from Tommy's house in Cryptovania HQ is an old burial mound. And there's a lot of those around here in Northwest Pennsylvania. Interesting things about that one is there's also a Civil War era graveyard on top of it. So you have a mixture of two different societies' graveyards there.
Wow.
Yeah. And there's talk of a Smithsonian being in there. And this area is very distrustful of the Smithsonian folks. And there's talk of them spiriting away evidence of giants.
Yeah. And
there's a lot of things around here that point to evidence of giants being here at one point, including the Seneca tales of there being giants here at one point, back probably around 1200 AD would be about when they seem to have disappeared.
Wow. So what kind of evidence are you talking about?
Well, one of the really interesting things that is here in our very area is between my house and Tommy's house is the first oil well ever produced. It's Drake's Well. And it wasn't a very deep well. And everybody in this area knew there was oil close underground because it seeps out into our creeks. And one creek in particular, the one that's between me and Tommy, is called Oil Creek because it'll have a scum of
naturally occurring oil on it sometimes, especially in places where it gets backwaters and stuff and eddies. You'll get a collection of like a, it's kind of an iridescent, you know, kind of when you see oil on water, it's, and then it's got like a rust color to it too. And there's here still remnants of oil collecting pits where somebody about 1,000 years ago made these pits that are in any of the back channels of the creeks around here, and they were lined with half timbers, and they would be about 4 foot by 6 foot. And it's basically acknowledged that these were oil collection pits. And at one point around the turn of between the 19th and 20th centuries, there was still documented that there was about 2,000 of those pits in one general area around here, which is a heck of an endeavor.
Wow.
Yeah, I would
say. In the past, it's always been kind of like said as an aside that the Seneca did that, that made those pits, and it said that they did it for oil for their hair. Where they came up with this story, nobody really knows, because it's not a Seneca story. They don't tell stories of ever using them, and they don't really know what the source of those pits were. And one of the things about petroleum-soaked wood is it makes it near impossible to date, because it slows the aging process.
Oh.
And there's still remnants of these oil-lined pits here. And we wonder who did that.
Yeah, I was just going to say
that maybe giants did.
Mm-hmm.
And like Karen in the chat room is saying, what would that have been used for then? You know, mm-hmm. I mean, what else could it have been used for?
Well,
that's a good question.
There have been over in Ohio, in some of the mounds that they have there, they have found very ancient lamps that don't really fit any historical narrative. And so it kind of lends itself to the possibility that maybe for oil for lamps, for some kind of lighting type of thing. You've got to wonder, that's a heck of an endeavor to dig. Even if those 2,000 pits that were there were the only ones, that's a heck of an endeavor just for collecting some oil for your hair.
Right. Yeah, well, that doesn't sound likely. Yeah.
Holy cow, I can't even imagine.
You know, and it's never really been explored very much, because it was just kind of like, oh, well, you know, and you wonder who exactly wrote that history, you know. And when a lot of this stuff for the Seneca was documented, it was documented by people that didn't understand them, mm-hmm. you know. And so it just kind of seems to be like one of those little loopholes in the history, and it doesn't make sense at all.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And that would just be a lot of oil. I mean, period.
Well, yeah, 2,000.
I mean, even for light, or you know, I can see like it burns, like they have on the end of the logs. You know, you use it as a torch or something. But still, that's a lot of oil.
2,000 pits. Wow.
Yeah. And you know, when you look at these old historical reports, you know, they kind of corroborate each other, and then you still find these pits around. And like I said, trying to date them is near impossible because they're petroleum soaked.
Wow. That's kind of mind-boggling, actually, isn't it? I mean,
you know, one of our customers that comes in here, I got him to confide in me that as a young man, he was digging a trail that ran through Drake Well, which is Old Creek State Park. And they found a room that was a cavernous room, and they looked, and there was some sort of treasure of some sort in the room. And they told the boss about it, and the next day they had to sign NDAs and all this kind of stuff, and they rerouted the trail around, and they cemented the entrance to it and all this and that. That is going to mm-hmm. That's going to be a story that I'm going to enjoy breaking to Cryptovania, because I can't wait to tell this story.
Yeah,
and, that's cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What kind of treasure did he say? What kind of treasure? What was it?
There was a box. He said there was a box in there, and it was like a 12-foot cavern. And this was like, 40 years ago. Mm-hmm. So he was, it's just so long ago that nobody can get to it yet. But it's going to be good. It's going to be good.
That's awesome. You kind of like have your own Oak Island right there in Cryptomania.
Yeah.
Yeah. And not too far from here is an old newspaper report of some kind of excavation when they were digging for oil, and they came across an iron helmet that was just huge, and bones, and a giant like 9-foot sword. And then it says in this 150-year-old story in the newspaper that the Smithsonian came and let everybody look at it and then took it.
Oh, you know,
they had some kind of display in Tynesta for like a weekend or something, and then took it with them. And, you know, and it's a newspaper story from 150 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow. 9-foot sword.
9-foot sword.
Yeah.
That's
so you're looking at what, 14, 15 foot tall people?
Well, or, yeah.
At least.
Mm-hmm. And then even being metal and a sword and an iron helmet, it doesn't fit timelines.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the things that we'll be concentrating on this summer. And we've got a couple people that are going to join us throughout the summer. And we'll make episodes of us going and investigating these and maybe not presenting answers, but presenting more questions.
Mm-hmm.
What has been destroyed? You know, what has been destroyed over the course of time? That's the interesting thing. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, well, lots. I mean, and if there's... You know, I mean, we hear about cover-ups about Bigfoot all the time, so why not cover up this stuff too, you know?
Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, they want to cover up the giants because that doesn't bode well for the... It has a lot of political ramifications.
Yes, absolutely.
An interesting aside that we've come across with these discussions is we have a friend that's a Seneca that documents a lot of these mounds and burial sites, claiming some of them for Seneca and so that they could protect them. And you'll find some farm fields here will have like an area that they have to leave alone that's protected, that are protected grave sites. And one of the interesting things that he's told us is that he's come across like 2-foot tall skeletons that are fully developed, and they claim them as Seneca. I can't remember their name for them, but it's translates to little people. And they claim them as their own. And there's some of these sites have actually been like 2-foot skeletons. And he says they're not babies. They're not children. They are
fully grown.
Yeah. And that's kind of one of the asides from us talking to people about these mounds here, which are very, very interesting in themselves. And then as you dig into these, you come across all kinds of interesting side stories that kind of distract you at times from what you were looking at before. But there's so many very cool avenues to go down.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. And the thing is, there's giants all over. I mean, we have a big mound in northern Minnesota called the Grand Mound, which they say is giants. You know, the giants lived there back in the day.
And you wonder about all of the interrelations of all that. And it's kind of one of our favorites, and it's one that it really hasn't had a lot of, there hasn't been a lot of good stuff on it yet.
Yeah. Well, it's not really out there. So you guys are just paving the way. See? Totally yeah, new stuff. I love it. I love it. You know what? It's a minute before the halftime, but I think we should go to break now so that then when we come back, we can, you know, talk some more. So this is The Gathering Radio Show on the Para-X Radio Network. We will be back in 2 minutes.
You haunted by shadow people in the middle of the night?
Do you secretly love all things creepy and spooky, enjoying ghost stories and horror fiction from the best storytellers?
Do you have a true ghost experience you want to share, but no one will believe you?
If yes, listen to the professionals on What Are You Afraid Of? Horror Paranormal Show, Friday nights at 9 p.m. on Para-X Radio and at www.whatareyouafraidofpodcast.com.
What are you afraid of on Para-X?
Our creepy and demented hosts are on call to provide you with all your spooky needs with true ghost stories, interviews, indie music, and new horror fiction. We are ready to scare you.
Para-X.
If you're looking for a truly unique podcast experience, we have you covered. Spirit Bayou with CJ Dunham airs live from the Third Coast in Southeast Texas on Tuesday and Fridays at midnight Eastern Time, covering Creole folklore and folk magic to strange paranormal activity to new equipment for the field. CJ Dunham is a Catholic swamp witch, a devotee to our Mother Mary in the Trinity, a true believer in our Lord, the Holy Ghost, and Christ. Peace be with your spirit and the spirits by you.
What happens to a ghost when their home is torn down? No one thinks of the disembodied when they rip down old buildings, dig up cemeteries, and build clean, unhauntable condos. Every year, hundreds of spirits are driven out of their own haunts by the careless living to exist alone with no one to scare. At Para-X Radio, our hosts feel the plight of these evicted disembodied, and we're reaching out to you to please open your heart to one of these lost souls, such as the ghost soldier of the General Wayne Inn or the abandoned spirit cat of Benjamin Rush. So please, please, let a little spooky into your life. Won't you open your house to a ghost without a home?
Para-X.
Welcome back to the Gathering Radio Show on the Para-X Radio Network. And we have Jason Trost and Tommy Cooper from Cryptovania TV with us tonight. We're super happy to have them back with us because it's been a couple of years. So welcome back, guys. And I want to get to a couple questions for you guys because there have been a few questions that have gotten lost in the chat room and I don't want to forget them. And so they are kind of back a ways. We're going to have to scroll back to our memories of like 20 minutes ago. And we were talking about Sasquatch and we had, let's see here, Kat was asking, just wondering your opinion, if you guys think that Sasquatch develops an undercoat in winter. We were talking about the fur, and they were wondering, do you think Sasquatch develops an undercoat when it's winter time here?
I don't know. I'm kind of torn myself as to whether they have to make adjustments to the physicality of our environment. Because myself, I kind of think that they come in and out dimensionally myself. And so you wonder if they need it.
Right.
And then there's me. Then there's me.
Here we go.
They go underground.
Yeah.
I think they're underground.
Cool. All right.
But I do believe that they have some layers there. And I'm a big believer that they have like that guard hairs. And that's one of the things that lends themselves to both their camouflaging that's where I go with that. I'm not sure I don't know if they suffer from heat or not, because you would I don't know.
Right.
It's an interesting question.
Also, the shimmer person, you can see like I've been in the woods before and I've seen the shimmering man or the shimmering Bigfoot or whatever. I've seen them before. So
that's what allows them to hide in plain sight, Tommy. So they can be right in front of us and we can't see them.
Yes.
So
is that just a light thing, or is it a vibratory thing? Because I think Linda Godfrey has her, she's opined that maybe that they have like an electrical frequency to it, or a vibration. Or, you know, what we might call an aura or something that I guess that might lend itself to that. It kind of like when we were going earlier, you can go down so many places, you know.
Yes. Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Cool.
Because we don't know. That's the thing. We don't know. We have a lot of ideas and, you know, we just don't know.
No one can say for certain. Yeah.
Yeah. More questions than answers. Every time we go out in the woods, there's more questions than answers.
Yeah.
All right. So we have another question. This goes back to the vats, the oil vats, the pits. Okay. And Karen in the chat room is asking if the petroleum might be an after effect or something that was secondary. Could the pits have been for something else and then the petroleum happened later, or they needed, like, could there be another option that the petroleum wasn't what they were doing or needing?
That's certainly a possibility. And it could very well be that there was another purpose, and then it also happened to create eddies for the that oil collected in. It's certainly a possibility. And we could very well be looking at just an effect of something that some other endeavor. And you got to wonder what were they doing? Who was it? But that's certainly a very real possibility that it just so happens that those pits also collect oil, which then makes it hard to date. You know, very, very possible.
Cool.
You know, when we talked about that sword, so Kat in the chat room posted a link to a story about a sword that was found in Japan. 15th century Japanese sword that's huge. It's 3.77 meters, which is 12.37 feet in length, and weighing as much as 32 pounds. Okay, who wielded that is what I want to know. And good, it's enormous. So there's a picture in here, too, and it is ridiculously enormous.
What was that for?
I don't know. It's I'll send you guys the link because I know you're not in the chat room, but it's they don't really know. It's a huge sword from Japan. Talks about how big it is.
Yeah, it says it's just from the 15th century AD, and it's called a Norimitsu Odachi sword. I hope I'm saying that correctly. Yeah. But there's more information in the link. Yeah, you probably have to just check the link, but it's really impressive from the photo. Yeah. And I don't know, would it be ornamental, you know, that it wasn't actually held, or was it, you know, held by someone that could wield something that big?
Yeah. I mean, that's crazy.
It's an interesting one. I look forward to taking a look at that.
Yeah, I'll send it to you. Awesome. For sure. Okay, so Nephilim. Nephilim came in our conversation too. So Nephilim, are you thinking that they're just the giants, or do they have something to do with, you know, what it talks about in the Bible, about them being fallen angels that just happened to be giants, right? They were kind of a mixture of things.
Yeah, you've heard that the descendants of Cain destined to wander the earth alone. It's really, I don't know. Honestly, you think, well, giants and Nephilim, are they one and the same, or is it two totally different? You know,
yeah,
it's kind of like Dogman and Bigfoot.
Yep.
You know, are they the same thing or different ramifications? Or even our own perceptions. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe for whatever reasons we have our own perceptions that we put on things.
Yeah, because maybe we just can't process. So we have these filters that our brain uses so that we just don't see what's really there. Or we've changed it.
Biases inside.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, and so, you know, maybe when we have encounters, we might feel feel negative towards it, but it could be just our own reaction.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then that's one of the beautiful things of Bigfoot and paranormal and all that. You know, there's really no Newton's law.
No. And there's no experts and there's nothing because we just don't know. We can only report what we find and then we're done. Yeah. You know?
100%.
Which we do all the time. And I always say, I don't know what this is. What do you guys think? Yeah. My famous last words. I don't know what this is.
let's check it out.
Let's check it out. Yeah.
That's really what we try to celebrate with our whole Cryptovania experience, especially on the television channel. We really we like to be a celebration of all of this, mm-hmm. and like you know, having the various content producers, you know, having Squatchers on there, and you know, we really enjoy celebrating Bigfoot and paranormal.
Mm-hmm. Well, because it's so interesting. And like I said, there's no, we don't know, right? We can only report on what we find and what we think could be, but we don't know. We don't know, you know,
it's just, and we live in a cool age where things mm-hmm. are accessible to us. You know, this, you know, all of us here on this broadcast right now, we all have our day jobs and we do our things, and then we can do these things that we do as an aside, mm-hmm. While they're very important to us, it's really cool that we have these resources at our fingertips.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely, and it's fun. Besides, right? I mean, who doesn't love to go into the woods or go into a dark, crazy, scary place at night and do some investigating? You know, I'm just saying.
Yeah,
we do it all.
Venture out of a 20-minute walk. Yes. I have one place here that me and my wife like to hit, and it's just a 20-minute to a 1-hour walk. But a lot of times I'll find interesting tree structures and tree bows and such, and you don't have to go very far, and you can mm-hmm. make an adventure out of it. And mm-hmm. and suddenly a 5-acre lot suddenly turns into a giant playground.
Yes. Yes. Well, and Tommy, I mean, he just has to walk out his door, right? And the woods are right there within, you know.
It's our main research area. It's right across the road from my house, man.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a lease and it's 1,000 acres and we're all on it. And plus there's everybody else that has property around it and stuff. And they all know us. They all think we're cool. And yeah, we can do anything.
That's handy.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
You guys are cool because, you know, you find all this stuff out and then they're like, maybe they've seen it before, but there's that whole thing about they don't want to say what they've seen because of the implications. People are going to think they're crazy. So they love it when we tell them or when you tell them, you know?
Yeah.
So
100%.
Yeah, that's one of the things I've had happen to me is a man come down here and he was explaining to me, he was like, he's like, hey, what goes on two legs and it crosses the road and it's about 7 foot tall? And I was like, I don't know, man. I was like, was it a bear? He's like, I don't think so. And he described to me a dog that walked across the road on its hind legs. And I was like, huh, that's pretty Dragon. Interesting. Right up the road from Cryptovania.
Yeah. Nice.
Yep. Yep.
It's almost like they're just begging to be interviewed by you guys.
Yes.
By showing up there.
Yes. That okay. area where that happened, we've had a couple of people that have right in that very area have given us reports of a upright dogman type thing. Our good buddy Richie, who's not with us anymore, swore up and down he had a couple encounters there. It's 3 miles down the road from Cryptovania HQ.
Wow.
Yep.
That's crazy. Absolutely insane. You guys are like right in the midst of all of it, which is so cool.
It's a crazy, crazy world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. My gosh. So speaking of giants, so Jerry in the chat room from the calling is talking about there is a spot up between Pelican Rapids, which is up north, and Twin Lakes, where it is said to be a possible graveyard of giants. And there was a guy who emailed Sim, I guess, asking them to help. I'm not really sure what wanted them to help with. So he's hoping the team can get up there in the spring.
Wow.
Well, that's interesting. I think maybe Steph wants to go and see this. You know, we'll have to see. I'll just invite myself along, you know.
What was the name of that? Did you say that was Pelican Falls?
Pelican Rapids. I think.
Oh.
It's up by, it's close to, I think it's up by Detroit Lakes. It's in between Detroit Lakes and Menomon, somewhere close to there. Nice. So, yeah. So cool stuff. And like I said, we have the big grand mound up on the border, which is, I've been there. It's amazing. It's huge. It's amazing. They say giants are buried there. You know, it's a very interesting story. And next time I get up that way, I'm going to go to the museum and find out more. So,
well, we have one more question because of what we were just talking about with this area that you guys live in. Karen was saying it sounds like you live in a vortex or some kind of maybe paranormal doorway or energy doorway. Do you guys think that that's true? Do you think that there's something like that in that area, which is why there's so many sightings?
I don't. I just think it's, we know so many people and so many people tell us their stuff. And I think that that's why, because we're so well-versed.
Mm-hmm. So what you're saying is you kind of think that it's all over the place and we just have a pretty, we get to get a lot of the stories.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And yes, I'm kind of on the other side. And I kind of wonder if there isn't some kind of something special about this area. And it does seem like there's, you know, even with it being the birthplace of the oil industry, and you kind of wonder if there isn't maybe something about this area that doesn't create a little bit of extra.
Mm-hmm. You know, the only thing that I would I would guarantee on that is so many people were killed by the creeksides during the oil boom days. That's where the bandits would hit. Mm-hmm. So maybe.
Mm-hmm. You mean like dark energies and stuff?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Could be.
Interesting.
Could be.
Yeah.
Cool. Thanks for your thoughts on that. And to Karen for the question. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Absolutely.
Thank you.
So tell us about what is on the horizon for Cryptovania TV.
Well, we've got a couple of projects in the mix. One that we just filmed last week. We filmed our buddy R.A. Mihailov, who is a longtime horror film legend. He sat down in TRT Studios with us and interviewed a local man who is a local police officer who is also was a professional wrestler for many, many years and a professional bodybuilder. And these two have been wanting to get together and shoot the bull. R.A. has a couple years on the wrestling circuit, too. And we got to film them basically getting together and shooting the bull. And it ended up, we filmed for 3 hours and they just kept rolling and it was kind of the way we film with our equipment. You have to do it in about 12-minute segments because of the way that it works on our cameras. And so you, in order to keep a continuous flow, normally we'll film for 12 minutes, stop for a second, and then film again. But these guys just kept flowing and kept flowing. So we had to do a little bumping and figuring to keep it rolling because we didn't want to wall them back. And that'll be an episode of 5 Pounds of Sugar, which is basically where we get to sit down with people that are making their living in extraordinary ways.
or have gotten to do interesting, fun things as their chosen profession.
Cool.
I'd like to say something about RA. Two words: Full House. He was in Full House.
Oh,
RA was Full House.
There you go.
Yes. Yes.
Awesome. Well, that's a cool bit of trivia right there.
Yeah.
He's a very large man, and he one of his more famous roles is he was Leatherface in one of the Texas Chainsaw movies.
Oh.
Spooky
dookie.
Yeah, and he was our first episode of 5 Pounds of Sugar, and he sat down in our studio, and we got to interview him, and now he's doing a little bit of interviewing with us, with other people. And, it's kind of a nice transition.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds cool. That sounds awesome.
Yeah. And we're very flattered. It's really awesome. It's like being a baseball fan and having Reggie Jackson walk in and drink a beer with you.
Love it.
Having RA come in, and sometimes you're like, "Hi, RA." All right, remember, we got to be friends. we've got some stuff that we're doing with Irish Bigfoot too, and we're bringing them into the Irish Bigfoot Research Organization. We're bringing them into the Cryptovania the stable, and we'll have their feature film, Walking with the Wild Man. We should have that up in the next couple weeks, and we'll be doing a production with them.
Awesome.
So we just keep continually moving forward, and we're trying to add a little bit of music and movie stuff so that it's not just Bigfoot and paranormal. It's lots of other ways of adventuring and having fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love it.
Just no politics and no religion.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, everything fun.
Edward Monge and Mike Vermilion and all those people, that there's a lot of exciting things happening at Cryptovania.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like
that
it.
That would be Bigfoot Quest and the Shadow of the Big Red Eye. Those are two content producers that we just brought in the last couple of weeks. We have a selection of their stuff available in the peer generated archives.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Check out Cryptovania TV, everyone. If you have Roku, check it out. It's amazing how much stuff is on there. It's, mind blowing actually. And it's good stuff. It's good stuff.
Thank you.
So there's a question, and I know I've talked to you guys about this off air before, but Sherry in the chat room is asking if you find a Bigfoot hotspot, report it to the government, could they close the area to hunt down Bigfoot? Thoughts?
They would.
Mm-hmm.
They definitely would. I've seen it happen before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We've seen not very far from us. We've had interesting helicopter activity and police activity doesn't go along with the narratives that they put out at the time. We wonder about that. We have seen that. And that's definitely something that we're conscious of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just right here in Minnesota, last fall, I guess it probably was a year ago now, but one of my researcher friends up there was talking about how his niece was driving on one of the roads in his research area, actually, and it's a highway, and there was someone coming from the other way, coming from the north, and they ran into what appeared to be a Bigfoot and crashed their windshield. The Bigfoot got up and ran away. They reported it to the highway patrol, who came and closed, put yellow tape all around the area. And of course, we're out there searching for Bigfoot. And they told these people, do not tell anyone what you have seen here tonight. So, that's exactly what they're doing. And what's cool is this researcher friend of mine actually went out there and found the windshield in the ditch, and it's in his barn. So he's going to do some analysis on it, you know, and see what he can find. But isn't that cool?
That is awesome.
Funny they didn't think to take that. I mean, really, don't you think that'd be the first thing they would take?
Yeah.
You would think, yeah.
So anyway, yeah. So, okay, so we have about 6 minutes left. So anything that you guys want to talk about that maybe we haven't covered already?
I wanted to ask you about those rings that you have and that we've been doing episodes on for He Said, She Said. Are you planning on going up there anytime again soon?
Well, I was just up there on Sunday. You know, we did the show, but isn't that weird, Jason? And you know what? They find them in other places too. I mean, Carrie and I have found them in another regional park, actually on the Mississippi River. That's probably 10 miles from here, I think. We found one, and some other researchers, because I'm always asking them about them now. You know, if I'm talking to one, I'll say, have you ever found those rings? Or they'll say something like, oh, we saw those pictures. That's awesome. And then I will say, well, have you found them? And they actually have, you know, what are they? I mean, they're 20 to 25 feet up in the air, you guys. I mean, I'm not sure how humans, what are they going to do? Take a ladder out in the woods to put those up there? I mean, no.
Jay Fouch over in Coshocton County, he's found those rings too. And he was like 12 or 15 foot off the ground.
Wow. I mean, but there's 20 of them. So we counted. We went around and counted one day. There were three of us squatchers up there. And there were 20. We counted 20. And it's not a very big area. And it's in a regional park close to me. I think it's probably about 10 miles from downtown Minneapolis. So very heavily populated area. But we're finding all these weird things. And so we started thinking that we're going to start searching the regional parks and, you know, the wildlife areas within the bubble of the cities, because obviously there's something going on, right? Or the suburban areas, I should say. You know? Suburban
Squatch Project.
Absolutely. And they're all on waterways. That's the other thing, right? We know they follow the waterways. So, and I believe that waterway that comes into that park also goes all the way north to our research area. So how about that? You know, it's easy for them to get there.
It kind of lends itself to my theory that, like, with the stick structure, that it's ornamental, that it's some kind of artwork or expression to me. That's the feeling that I get from it.
Yeah, me too. And there's a researcher up in Canada who actually finds them on stick structures. She's got a YouTube video out there of a couple stick structures that she's found, and lo and behold, there's those rings. So very interesting, right?
That's really cool.
I know.
Yeah. Or what if Bigfoot is connected with UFOs, what if it's a marker for a visual from above?
And entirely possible that you know, maybe that's why they're up there, is not for viewing from the ground, but from viewing from above.
You know, they're pretty hard to see, though, Jason, honestly. You know, I mean, some of them are pretty clear. You know, I sent you a bunch of pictures today. But some of them are blend right in with the trees. You know what I mean? They kind of remind me of my great horned owls. They are hard to find, but they're there nonetheless, you know? So I don't know. To be determined, right? We'll keep watch. We'll keep going up there every now and then. And, you know, it's a park where Melly and I walk all the time. So I'm up there frequently, maybe not in that particular part of the park, but, you know, well, she'll go now more often. So anyhow, but yeah, fun stuff. So yeah, that'll be, we just filmed that. But well, guys, you know what? The music is playing. It's time for us to go. Thank you for being on The Gathering again.
Absolutely.
Great show. You'll have to come on again.
Thank you.
Yes. And Heidi, another great show. Everyone, thanks for listening. The troops, if you're out there listening to us, hey, be safe and thank you for your service.
Absolutely. And everybody in the chat room, thanks for your questions. And everybody listening, wherever you are, we so appreciate you being here. Para X, thank you so much for hosting us. We love it here. And Sarge, our most amazing producer, thank you once again for everything you do. And we are looking forward to seeing you all back here next week.
Yeah. Good night, everyone.
Night.
Night, everybody. Thank you.